PR. I'm Rick Ganley. I'm in the studio this morning with two guests. We're joined now for local analysis of last night's results by Chris Gagliari, an assistant professor of politics at St. Anselm College, and Tom Rath, former state attorney general and a longtime Republican strategist. Gentlemen, thank you so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
On probably very little sleep, I'm sure, for for everyone. First to you, Tom. President-elect Donald Trump, your reaction?
Well, I think it is remarkable. We think we know so much about what's going to happen before it happens, and then the voters remind us at the end of the day they're in charge. The press running up to it said that Trump had at best a very tortured and tough path. Mm-hmm. Well, he did. He had a path, and he found it, and the voters found it. It is one of the most remarkable upsets I've seen in presidential politics in probably close to 50 years.
Yeah, I think the word unprecedented isn't too far to go.
I think that's fair.
Yeah, and I think going into it, obviously, pundits and pollsters thinking that it was a narrow but assured lead for Hillary Clinton. And then as the night went on, I think things kind of flipped on their ear. And it just seemed like—
Well, it's got to be. They've been running for this almost for 10 years, if you think about it, because they ran against Obama back in 8 years ago. And they've always been kind of a government in exile, and they really felt like the prize was within in reach at this point. And and certainly all the data suggested it. But the uniqueness of the Trump approach and the ad hominem nature of his campaign, which just galvanized people who are not typically part of the process, really, when you catch lightning in a bottle, it's pretty tough to stop.
Right. Well, do you think Republicans, mainstream Republicans, even were expecting this? I mean, were you expecting anything like this?
No. To be honest with you, no. I mean, I had looked, as Andy Crist before, way too many polls and seen way too many numbers, and too many things had to go right to make it work. Well, they all went right. And the funny thing about voters and predicting them is sometimes they just vote. And you think you know so much, and they'll say, I'll make up my own mind.
Well, certainly there'll be a lot of, you know, dissecting here of the numbers and who did vote and were there a lot of voters who were disenfranchised for years that came back or that kind of thing. Chris Gagliari, none of these polls predicted this. What went wrong in your opinion?
I think we're going to need some more time to figure that out. But, I mean, when we say that there was a poll failure, I mean, there was a catastrophic across-the-board poll failure. Public polling, private polling by both campaigns. Yesterday morning, everybody's model had sort of converged to Clinton plus four, 322 electoral votes, and obviously that's not what happened. Mm-hmm. It may be that fewer and fewer people have landlines, so it's harder to poll people, not reaching people with cell phones, not reaching millennials, not reaching rural voters, perhaps, but something went wrong. But it went wrong for everybody. It's not, you know, that one poll from 1936 that got the Roosevelt Landon result backwards. This was just something systemic that went wrong.
Going forward, how about some Democratic soul searching? Where does the party go from here? I mean, this wasn't just the presidential race. I mean, this was a resounding defeat across the country.
That's right. I think Democrats, as Tom and I were discussing earlier, were really looking forward to 2016 as a year that they would get payback for the 2010 midterm election. They thought they could make pickups in Pennsylvania and Wisconsin
right.
and
other
states.
Let's talk about Texas.
Exactly. And all those big maps we saw right after the Democratic convention and right after the final debate. And then they just sort of shrank. Suddenly Utah wasn't in play. Suddenly Georgia was not in play. And I think what comes down to is that, you know, that support that it looked like there was for Clinton was very brittle. And I think in particular, the James Comey letters probably led a lot of Democratic-leaning voters or infrequent Democratic voters to stay home rather than turn out.
Yeah. Let's move on to the race of the moment here that still hasn't been called, Ayotte and Hassan. This U.S. Senate race, obviously, tens of millions of dollars poured into this race from outside interests. Tom, what's your reaction to this race? And not, you know, it's still too close to call at this hour. We're 0.2 of a percentage point apart.
Well, if you'll allow me to reflect on my age, I've been to this movie. I did Wyman Durkin back in 1974.
Okay.
Which was
won't do the math on that.
Well, it ended up 2 points, two votes. And then we actually ended up having a recount. We had a recount and then we had a revote. We had a special election to decide it because the Senate refused to seat the winner that New Hampshire certified.
You see anything like that happening again?
I think we'll have a very extensive and hard-fought recount in that they're going to be a test to see whether every particular piece of the process was done exactly right. For instance, somebody will come in the room and say, I challenge every single ballot that doesn't have an X mark, but a check mark, mm-hmm. because the statute says X marks. Well, that's going to get thrown out.
In our case, is the oval filled in completely.
Right, same thing.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
And there'll be challenges like that. It will come down to, and I think right now both parties probably know where the problem is. They have done their own spreadsheets. They have a pretty good sense of where there may be a deviation. I was surprised at how specific Governor Hassan was last night. So they obviously think that a significant part of a number of votes didn't get in the mix. And we keep hearing it's in the Keene area because Keene reported early but may not have been added into the mix. But on the other side of it, the AI people really believe that they've got the right numbers too. You're going to have to sit down and sort it out. That process is straightforward. It should be take about a week, but there'll be a lot of legal challenges. And I know there are teams of lawyers, even as we speak, flying up here, briefcases in hand.
So you expect with maybe a 2/10 spread right now, maybe 1,500 voters, there will be some kind of
New Hampshire is a great object lesson for people who say every vote matters.
Mm-hmm. All right. Chris, regardless of whether Ayotte wins, it looks like Republicans will maintain control of the U.S. Senate along with the House. So what does that mean going forward?
It means we have unified Republican government in Washington for the first time in 10 years. Mm-hmm. That unified Republican government is a party that is much more conservative than it was in many ways 10 years ago. But it's being led by Donald Trump, who kind of rejects conservative ideology whenever he feels like
and
it.
And kind of ran on that.
Exactly. Yeah. And you saw this come up again and again during the primaries. In the debates, he was attacking Scott Walker from the left. You know, he was making attacks that wouldn't have sounded any different than a Democrat running against Walker for governor of Wisconsin would have. And so, you know, it's a question of whether Trump and the congressional Republicans, can they work together? Do they want to work together? Do they just agree to give each other everything that they want and move forward? You know, with the Democrats having maybe 47, 48 votes in the Senate, there is not a whole lot that they're going to be able to do in terms of influencing what's coming out of Washington for the next at least two, maybe four, maybe eight
years. So the Republican Party will own it.
They will own it, yes.
Yeah. Tom, you endorsed John Kasich in the primary. Kasich never backed Trump, expressing concern about Trump's rhetoric. Does Trump represent the party as you see it?
Well, I think the Senate Republicans represent the party as I see it. I think Donald Trump has a very unique strain of almost personality-driven politics and persona-driven politics. Our party... The good news is we won. The bad news is we have to figure out who we are.
Yeah. Just the last quick question here for you. Chris Sununu wins the governor's race. It looks like he'll come into office. The Republicans are retaining control of both the state Senate and the House, as well as the executive council. What do you think's on the agenda for first come?
Well, the first thing every governor does is the budget. Sununu is a numbers guy. He likes to go line by line. He's got a very, very friendly state Senate, probably still led by Chuck Morse. I think we're going to see one of the quickest budget sessions we've seen in a long time.
Okay, and that would be different, too, because we've had some protracted fights on that.
Yeah, it will go down to the end, but I think they'll be playing in a very small piece of field.
Yeah, okay. Chris Gagliari, an assistant professor of politics at St. Anselm College, and Tom Rath, former state attorney general, longtime Republican strategist. Thank you both so much for coming in this morning.
Thank you.
All Thank right. you.